God is good, and all the time. Amen. Does anybody remember that from last week? I think I said that once or so. I'm not sure. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And if you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and turn over to John chapter 4. This is where we're going to be talking out of today. Today's message, I'm going to kind of set this up, but today's message is about a woman, and she's experiencing things that all of us struggle with, but none of us want to talk about, right? And she has an encounter with Jesus. And can I tell you, that's my prayer, is that today we will have an encounter with Jesus. That's what we need. That's when lives are changed, amen? And we see that this woman in our story today, this is where she gets honest with Jesus. And can I just say that when you and I, when we get honest with Jesus, that that is the place where he can break the strongholds and he can cancel you the sin and he can set the prisoner free if we'll get honest with him this morning. And that's exactly what I'm praying will happen in our lives today if we'll let him. Will you let him into your heart and your life today? Will you let God's word penetrate your soul? So I want to jump right in and I want to give us some context about our story. It's in the book of John chapter 4. And if you look at verse 1 and 2, it says this, okay? It says, "Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although, in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but it was his disciples." Now, I don't have a whole lot of time to go into this really deep, but Jesus never actually baptized anyone, okay, just so that you know that. And I think the reason is that with his all-knowing, that he knew that if he baptized someone, that then for the rest of history, there would be those people that say, "Well, I was baptized by Jesus, and you were baptized by John, and my baptism counts more than your baptism." And so Jesus just never did it. And I think that was showing wisdom of our Savior. But I also want us to see here in our story, before we see the actual video, I want you to watch this with my hands, all right? Because in verse 4 of chapter 4, he says this. He says, "Now he had to go through Samaria." Okay? So now Jesus was in a town called Judea, and this was down here. Okay, so watch my hands. Here's Judea. And it says that he was going to go once more to Galilee. And Galilee is up here, just pretty much straight north, okay? And then but as scripture says, now he had to go through Samaria. And I want you to know that Samaria was right here in the middle. And this was a 3 days journey from Judea to Galilee through Samaria. Okay, everybody with me? And the scripture says now he had to go through Samaria because it was in the middle. Now, this is where the problem with verse 4 comes in. You see, Jesus didn't have to go through Samaria. In fact, I want to teach for just a moment here, if you'll let me. I want to give you some background. And here's what was really going on, okay? So the Jews, and I want you to remember, Jesus was a Jew, right? And so the Jews, they absolutely hated the Samaritan people. And so it was a 3-day journey if you went through Samaria, but almost all the time, the Jews did not like the Samaritans so much that they would jump on the loop and they would go around. And that would cost them 6 days in the desert. And now I just want to point this out. Like, how much do you have to hate somebody to add 3 days of walking through the desert just so that you don't have to be around them? So there was a lot of hatred. And now I want you to explain a little bit more. I told you I'm going to teach a little bit this morning, okay? Because I want you to understand your Bibles when we're reading them. It brings the story to life. And so I want to explain to you really quick what the big deal was between the Jews and the Samaritans, because this thread, it runs complete through the Bible, through the Old Testament and the New Testament, okay? And so if you go back into the Old Testament and you look at the end of 1 and 2 Kings, you'll see that there was an empire named Babylon, okay? And the Babylonians, they're the ones that came in and they conquered the people of Israel, and they took the Jews captive, and they took them into what is called the Babylonian exile, which was it lasted approximately around 400 years. Now, that's in the book of 1 and 2 Kings. But now, when you go on over and you start reading Daniel and Ezra and Nehemiah, you're going to read about the parts of the time where the Jewish people spent in Babylonian captivity, all right? And so now, here's why that this is really important for us, okay? Because what happened was, is there was two groups of Jews. You know, there's nobody's alike, right? And so some of the Jews, they obeyed the commands whenever God told his people. He said, look, I don't want you to intermarry where God, I don't want you to intermarry with other nations. Now, I want to give you a side note here, okay? I want to mention that the Old Testament prohibitions of marrying people from other nations, these were not prohibitions against interracial marriage. They were prohibitions against interfaith marriage. Because what happened was back then, every nation had their own God. And that's what that's why he said, don't marry from other nations. And so to marry somebody from another nation, what that meant was that you were going to mix your faith with somebody that has a faith in a false god. And that's why he didn't want them to marry them. And so now, real quick, for every one of you that's younger or you're single in the church today, the Bible teaches this. It teaches that believers should marry believers. All right? You should not marry. You should not date. You should not get serious with anyone that is not a believer in Jesus Christ. All right? Because the Bible says this. The Bible says, I'm going to make sure I don't butcher it. What fellowship has light to do with darkness, and what fellowship has Christ to do with Baal, which is a New Testament name for Satan, okay? And so believers should marry believers, and God told them not to do this. And so now what happened was that some of the Jews listened to that, and some of the people didn't, and they started marrying these Babylonian women. And some of the men, women married some of the Babylonian men. So what happened was exactly what Jesus thought would happen. Let's put that in there. All right. Is that they started intermarrying and they started having kids. And what happened then was the kids started taking a little bit of mom's religion to the true God and a little bit of dad's false religion to this other God. And then they had this little religion baby. And that's the people that we call the Samaritans. So I don't know if you ever knew that. So now I want us to fast forward to Ezra and Nehemiah, all right? When you get to the books of Ezra and Nehemiah here, these two leaders, they're the ones that got commissioned by God to rebuild the temple and the walls around Jerusalem. And when this happened, the Samaritan people, they were like, well, we want to help. But then God tells Nehemiah and Ezra that to tell them, no, I'm sorry, they can't help because they disobeyed. You see how important obedience is sometimes? Okay? And so now what happened was, and this is important today because it's going to be mentioned in our story here in just a moment, is the Samaritan people, they got their feelings hurt. They got all in a tizzy because they couldn't help rebuild the walls and the city of Jerusalem. And so they went to a mount called Mount Gerizim, and there they built their own temple, all right? And this is going to become important because it is mentioned in our story today. So bookmark that for a minute. But now I want you to fast forward 1,000 years, and I want you to think about this. The reason that Jesus said that he had to go through Samaria was because he had a divine appointment. He knew that there was going to be this Samaritan woman at the well that day, and he knew that she needed an encounter with him. I just want to teach on this for just a few moments this morning, entitled it The Well. So here's Jesus, and he's tired from his journey, and he's sat down by this well, and his disciples, they go off into town to buy some food, and that's where you see them coming back with this food. But he's sitting by the well, and it says that it was about the sixth hour is what the Bible says. And so I want to teach a little bit on that. I want to explain just a minute so that you understand why they're talking about the sixth hour, because it's really a big deal. This whole passage kind of hangs on this being the sixth hour, okay? And so here's what's going on, is that the Jews, they would measure the time by the time this, when the sun came up, okay? And so like after the sun came up, the first hour, that's the first hour of the day. Second hour, sixth hour is what the Bible says. So basically they're saying this is noon. This is the hottest part of the day. And so whenever you, when you see this Samaritan woman coming to the water well, to draw a well, and Jesus says to her, he says, would you give me a drink? You think, why is that such a big deal? You see, she's there at noon because during this time, it was the tradition of the men and the children, they would get up, and in the first hour of the day, during the cool of the day, that's when they would go to the well and they would draw the water so that they could carry it back in the cool of the day. But see, Jesus sees this woman there at noon in the hottest part of the day, and he's wondering why. And essentially, she used to go to the well during the first hour of the day in the cool hour, but what would happen is the other women, they would gossip about her, aka prayer requests, you know, and you know, they'd be saying like, "Oh, did you hear about her? Did you know she's dating again? Oh, she's posting online again," you know, and they mean girled her, right? And that's what they were doing. So eventually, she was like, "You know what? Fine, I'll just go in the heat of the day. That way I don't have to be made fun of. I don't have to be ridiculed. I don't have to feel any condemnation." And so that's why she's there around the noon time of the day. And so I want you to think about this for a little bit, is that Jesus comes and he's sitting down with the worst of the worst of the worst. I mean, this lady is so bad, she has to come at noon instead of the early part of the day. And Jesus walked through the desert because he loved this woman. And he wanted to set her free. And I want you to get this, okay? Because I want you to know this morning, Grace Point family, I want you guys to know there's a lot of people in this room, and I may not know every one of you, but I want to tell you something. Somebody in this room has to be the worst of the worst, right? It's probably me, all right? It's probably me. But somebody in here is the worst of the worst, and that's who this woman was. But what this passage is showing you and me this morning is that no matter whoever that person is, if it's you or if it's me this morning, the worst of the worst in this place, that Jesus would walk through the desert. And he would suffer the heat, and he would be there because he wants to have an encounter with you. He wants to have an encounter with me. That's how much Jesus loves you and I, just like he loved this woman. And so if you want to get free this morning from the things that are going on in your life, you and I, we need an encounter with Jesus like this woman. I want to give you a couple of steps here of things that have to happen if you and I are going to be set free this morning. The first thing that I want us to see, the first step is that you must believe that God loves you right now. Right now, today, in your mess, in your problems, in your situation, Jesus sees you and he loves you and he wants to have an encounter with you. That's how much he cares about you and I. And so the important part of that is that if you don't believe that Jesus loves you now in your mess, well, then you probably are the person that's sitting there thinking that God's angry with you, or you feel like God has to be disappointed in me. When I look at myself, how can he not be disappointed? And you feel like he's disgusted with you. And if you believe that this morning, let me tell you, you will never come to Jesus for help if you think he feels that way about you. And so this morning, I want to compel you and I want to say to you that Jesus loves you so much that he would walk 3 days through the heat of the desert just to come and have a moment with you so that he could share his love with you this morning. And so you have to believe that Jesus loves you right now, right there where you're at. And so when you come to him, you'll know that Jesus is going to come to you. He's going to come running. He's looking for you. He's wanting this encounter just like you're needing this encounter. And he wants to come to you, and he wants to wrap his arms around you. He wants to put a ring on your finger, and he wants to throw a big party, and he wants to say welcome home to each and every one of us this morning. We should give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now for that. But you have to believe that God loves you right now, where you're at. And the second thing that you've got to understand is the source of your addiction. Okay? Check this out. Jesus answered her. He says this. It says, Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Now, what she's basically saying is, she's saying, hey, Jesus, you don't even have a bucket. You don't even have a bucket. So how are you going to get this living water out of the well if you don't have a bucket? And Jesus is saying to her this morning, he's saying, woman, you don't understand. You're misunderstanding me. It's not about the bucket that you have. It's about the well you're trying to drink from. If you spend your entire life trying to be sourced by something that can't supply it, then you'll never be satisfied. You and I will never be satisfied. And so what Jesus is saying to her, he's saying it's not about the bucket that you're carrying. It's about the well that you're drinking from. And so this woman, he tells us she had five husbands and she was shacking up with the sixth guy that was not her husband. And so Jesus was telling her, he was saying, listen, you've been to this well, the same well, six times, and your soul is still dying. And what he's saying to you is, why don't you try a different well? Why don't you just try a different well? And now what he's doing is he's pointing out that, like most of us, we think that it's about the bucket. And so she had gone through six buckets. And she's like, I'm going to try this bucket. And then, no, that bucket didn't work. So, okay, I need another bucket. And so what you and I do most of the time, just like this woman, is we spend our lives thinking it's about the bucket. Now, I did this illustration in a different lesson for the kids years ago, and I just tried to adapt it to this. And so I want to try to do this and give you an example, all right? And so we think that it's about the bucket, and so we spend our whole lives thinking that, like, oh man, I'm not satisfied, or I have anxiety, or I don't have any peace in my heart, I need a different bucket, right? We think, oh, I need a new job. I need a bigger paycheck, a different house. I need a different man or a different woman. And we think, I need a different bucket. And so we think to ourselves, that bucket didn't work. Let me try a different bucket. And so we go over and we look, we search around and we find a different bucket. We get a cleaning bucket. And we think, okay, I'm going to clean up my life. I'm going to be as moral as I can be. I'm going to quit cussing. I'm going to try to be nicer to my kids and my wife. I'm going to clean myself up. And then once I get clean, then I'll come to Jesus. And Jesus is going to look at us and he's going to say, look, it's not about the bucket. That's a good bucket. It's good to try to, you know, clean yourself up and to do right. But without me and without the living water in it, it's not going to work. And so we think, okay, well, that didn't work. I got to get a different bucket. And then so we come over here and we get a big bucket. Got to get a big bucket. I got to get more things. I got to have a bigger house, a bigger kitchen. I want that big truck, honey. Get me the Duramax. Get me the big truck, all right? And so we got to go big. And you got to try to get more things in our life. And then we realize that, hey, we've got everything in our bucket, but we don't have Jesus. And so we still come to a point of in our life and we think, well, the big bucket didn't work. That one didn't fulfill my life either. And then, so we come over here and we get... Now, maybe I shouldn't be holding this in church. I don't know. But can I tell you something? There's some of you, you're going to this bucket every night. And it's not helping. It's just making things worse. The more you drink, the worse it gets. And you're trying to fill it with something else. And you're never going to find it in this bucket. It's just going to make things worse. And so we keep going back. We think, well, that's not satisfying me either. That's not satisfying me either. And so we come over here and I'm going to minimalize. I'm going to downsize. I'm going to get rid of all the clutter. I'm going to empty my schedule. I'm going to free up my time. I'm going to get the tiny house, the tiny car, you know, all those things. And we think that if I minimalize, then I'll have room for Jesus. And then all of a sudden we realize that that bucket's not working either, is it? And so we go back and we think, oh, I'm still not going to think that it's Jesus. I must need another bucket. And so we come over here and we get another bucket. Oh, glory to God right there. That's a good bucket, right? And we start dealing with our anxiety and our fear and our depression, and we sit down in the house and we just turn to food for comfort. Instead of turning to the Holy Spirit and having God help us with it, we take and we turn to food for comfort. I've been there before. And then we go back and we think, oh, that still ain't working. That still ain't working. So then we come to this one. We say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tan the bucket. I'm going to tan the bucket. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to work out. I'm going to get these abs. I'm going to get down to my ideal weight. Can I tell you, have you ever seen anybody at their ideal weight? Do they look happy? No. They want your cheeseburger and you want their abs, right? So we look at it and we think, oh, I'm going to do this myself. And can I tell you, it all comes down to the simple fact is that it's not about the bucket. It's about the well that we're trying to drink from, people. I want us to see something here. You see, a different bucket is not going to make you happy because it isn't about the bucket, right? And Jesus is saying to this woman, you have been drinking from the wrong well. And so this woman, if you think about it, she's had five husbands, and the sixth one that she's with is not her husband at the moment. And Jesus is saying, look, you've gone to that same well six times. And you're still dying of thirst. And so what Jesus is trying to tell her, he's saying like he says to you and I this morning, he's saying, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's saying, come to me, because within me, I'm a fountain of living water, and I'm ready to give that to you. And he's saying to you, he's saying, come to me and give me your life, and I will satisfy that ache that you can't shake. He's saying, come to me this morning. And that's what he was saying to the woman, and that's what he's saying to someone in this room this morning. And here's what he's trying to do. When we look at this, we see a little bit further in the scripture, he's trying to bring this woman that has this addiction of going from man to man to man, right? She's in an addiction. And he's trying to bring her to what some people would call a crystallization of discontent. All right, now I know that's a big word, right? And so tomorrow when you go to work, they can say, how was your day? Oh, it was a great day. I had a crystallization of discontent, all right? But what this means, okay, is whenever some addiction specialists are talking, they talk about this moment called the crystallization of discontent. And this is a moment in your life where your will hardens. And you make a decision to get out of whatever it is that you're in. For instance, maybe it's the woman that's been abused for years and years, and she finally has that final strike, And her will hardens on the inside, and she says, never again, never again. And she makes an internal decision to leave and get out of that relationship. Or how about the person that's on the wagon and then off of the wagon all the time, and you're falling back into the same old stuff. And finally, you know, it's like they say, you have to hit rock bottom, right? Have you ever heard that saying? You have to hit rock bottom. You see, that's the last time where something so bad happens in the life of an addict, where there's something inside of them crystallizes and their will hardens, and they say, look, I am done with this stuff. I'm powerless, and my life has become unmanageable, and I'm done. I need the help of Jesus. And that's what this moment is in this woman's life. It's the crystallization of discontent. And this is what Jesus is doing for her, and this is what Jesus wants to do for you and me this morning. He wants us to come to this place to where our will hardens against whatever it is that we're in, and we say, look, I can't do this anymore. I can't do it alone. Whatever I'm doing, everything I do, it doesn't satisfy me. It only makes me worse. And so I want to finish right here on step three, all right? So step three is, to be set free, I must bring my sin into the light. Watch what happens here. The woman said to him, she said, sir, give me this water so that I don't get thirsty and have to keep coming back here to draw water. And then Jesus tells her in our video, and he tells us in Scripture, he says, go and call your husband and come back. She says, I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. Now, this is funny to me when she says this. She says, sir, the woman says, I see you're a prophet. And then in verse 25, it says this. The woman said, I know that the Messiah, called the Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Now, this is amazing. Verse 26 goes on. It says, then Jesus declared, I am the one speaking to you. Now, some of your Bibles will say, I am. I am. And now for those of you that are Bible scholars and you read your Bible all the time, you probably just thought, oh, I see the correlation here. You're thinking back to Exodus chapter 3 when Moses was standing in front of the burning bush, and God is talking to him, and he's telling him, hey, I need you to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. And Moses is standing there, and he's scared, and he's thinking, you know what? I'm scared to go, and God, who am I even going to tell him that sent me? And God reveals himself to Moses, and he says, tell him that I am sent you. And I think that was probably one of the defining moments in this woman's life, whenever she's looking at Jesus and this woman is talking to her on this whole different mountain, and he says, I am. I am. It was in that moment that this woman, she knew that the same God that was this one that was in the burning bush 2,500 years earlier and talking to Moses. And she knew that he had the power to set the people of Israel free. And so she knew that he had the power to set her free. Amen. Amaro, could you come to the keyboard for me, please? I think this is when she realizes it. Now, I want us to see that step three says, you have to be set free. I must bring my sin into the light. I want to finish real practical with you this morning, okay? For some of us, you're struggling with sin, and you've been trying and trying and trying to get out of it, but you can't. And you have to understand this morning that on your own, you're right, you can't. You can't do it. You need the great I am, because he's the one that has the power to break the strongholds in your life, to cancel the sin that's in your life, and to set the prisoner free this morning. He's the only one is the great I am. And so what you and I need to do is you need to bring yourself to him this morning. You need to bring yourself. Now, this is the hardest part. This is one of the hardest parts, and it's getting really practical. And so you see what Jesus did to this woman? You see, he said she's trying to hide this part of her life. She's trying to hide it. She says, I have no husband. And you and I do the same thing, don't we? We try to hide our sin. Sometimes we try to hide it in these buckets. We try to hide it. But you know, and God knows this morning, the things that are in your life. You have this thing that's in your life. It's a habit, or whether it's alcohol, or whether it's pornography, or a substance abuse of some sort. Whatever it is, you're trying to hide this thing. And Jesus is saying, go call your husband. He's saying, let's drag that out into the light. Let's go get it and bring it into the light. You see, John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says this. He says, Jesus is the light of the world. So what did Jesus do? He's saying, go call your husband. Let's bring it into the light. He's saying to you and I this morning, come bring me that addiction and bring it into the light to where it can be exposed. You see, I read a quote from a guy, Joby Martin, and he said something about you never want to fight the devil on his own territory in the darkness, because that's where he dwells. You want to bring those things into the light so that they can be dealt with. And Jesus can do this in your life this morning, because he is the great I am. He's the lamb that was slain. He's the light of the world. And he's here this morning for you and for me to bring our stuff to him and say, God, I can't do this on my own. I can't find any satisfaction in any of these buckets because I've been going to the wrong well. And Jesus, this morning, I want to come to you because I realize that you are the well of life, that you are the one that is only one that can sustain me. And so this morning, I believe that Jesus is dealing with your hearts this morning to bring your sin into the light and bring it to him this morning. If you would stand with me for just a moment. If you're here this morning and this message has spoken to your heart, and I believe that the Holy Spirit is in this place this morning, and I believe he's speaking into your hearts and your minds this morning, and he's bringing little things to your mind. Yeah, you haven't surrendered that to me. You haven't given me this. You haven't given me all of yourself here. You're still secretly doing this, or secretly doing that. This morning, I want to give you a chance to just bring it into the light. I want you to bring it to Jesus this morning. I can't do anything about it, but Jesus can. Jesus can come in this morning. If you will open your heart and your life to him this morning, and you'll say, Jesus, I need help. Jesus is here this morning with a well that only he has, water of life this morning, and he wants to give you a drink so that you can drink from the right well this morning, and your thirst will finally become satisfied, and you'll think, you know what? I'm so sick of wasting my time on this. I've got the truth this morning. If that's you, I just want you to ask you to come down to the front. And I want you to just bring it to Jesus in the light. You don't have to tell anybody what it is except for him. He's the only one that can take it away. He's the only one that can quench your thirst this morning. And so if you're here this morning, don't be embarrassed. Just come down to Jesus this morning. You see, the woman at the well, she came in the middle day so that she didn't have to be seen by anybody else. This morning, we're here, and Jesus is here sitting at the well, and he's saying, look, I'm here, and you're thirsty. Come unto me, and I'll give you a drink, and you'll never thirst again. I tell you, I'm so thankful I get to drink from that well. I'm so thankful that he loves us this morning. Maybe you're here and you say, you know, Pastor Jack, Jesus has my heart. He knows me. He loves me. But what if there's that one thing in there? Is it disobedience? Is it unforgiveness? What is it that's holding you and coming between you and your relationship with him? Because we all know that the Bible says that sin separates us from God. And I don't want to be separated from him ever. I want to continually drink from the well of life this morning. If you're here and you say, Pastor Jack, you know, there's a few things in my life, you know, I love him, but there's something I just haven't given him. you want to give that to him, just come on down and give it to him this morning. This is your opportunity this morning to come before the Lord and to stand before him and to share with him your heart. He knows it already. You can't step back there and hide it from him. He knows your heart. He knows what you need this morning from him, and he's here this morning to give that to you. I'm going to hush, and I'm just going to pray. And those of you that are back there, if you would, just stretch your hands toward these people as they come before this living God this morning, and they are saying, look, I am thirsty this morning, God, and only you can feel that. I'm tired of going to the wrong well. I'm tired of picking up the wrong bucket. I'm tired of all the hustle and bustle. I need you, Jesus. I need you. And let's pray for these people this morning. Father God, I love you today. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this example of this woman and how you loved her so much that you were willing to walk through the heat of the desert to get to her. And Lord, you sat down and you sent the disciples away so that you could just have a special moment with her. And God, that's what each and every one of these people are here this morning. They're here for a special moment with you. God, they're looking to you to fill their thirsty soul, to quench that desire inside of them, to take that habit and to set them free, to break the bondage that they're in, God, and set them free this morning. Father, with your living water, Father, flow in this place today. Change us in our hearts and in our lives, God. Help us to be more like you with every drink we take of you. God, fill our thirst this morning. Father, I come to you thirsty for more of you. Lord, I know you and I spend time with you, but God, I'm asking for more of you this morning. Father, I pray for that you just continue to flow into my bucket and flow out. And Father, so those around me, God, can experience your greatness and your goodness and your love and your mercy and your forgiveness and your compassion and your healing and your deliverance, God. I pray, God, that you would fill me up to overflowing so that I can flow into the people in my family and my friends and my neighbors. Neighborhood, on my job. Father, fill us this morning. Father, pour out your spirit this morning upon your people. God, I thank you, Father, for the forgiveness of our sins. Those of us that are here this morning and we're coming with sins, God, this morning, we lay them at your feet and we say, Father, we pray that by the blood of Jesus that you would wash them away. And Father, that you would create in us a heart that is after you, God, so that we could serve you and love you for the rest of our lives. God, come into our hearts and fill us with your spirit so that you can lead and guide us and give us wisdom and direction in all situations, in all areas of our life. Father, we need you this morning. And Father, I'm so thankful that we can come to the well this morning. And God, that you are there to fill us. I thank you, Jesus, that you love us so much, that you died for us. You rose again, and that you're in heaven now preparing a place that where you are, that we can also be. God, I thank you for that this morning. I thank you for your love for your children, for me. Even when we're unlovable, God, you love us. I thank you, and it's in Jesus' precious name we pray.